Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, no better way than to get ready to ring in the new year than with a little Prince, partying like the famed year 1999, which we're all so fond of. Jesus Christ, that takes me back to my high school days. I wasn't even legally allowed to drink back then. But welcome back to the Bump and Run podcast. I'm your host, Joe Fortenball. We're going to bring in co-host Matt Bowen in just a second. This is it, the final installment of the Bump and Run for the year. Don't panic. We will be back in January, so you'll have an hour to waste listening to us at least twice a week heading into the playoffs and the draft, et cetera, et cetera. We'll get to that schedule later. Bowen, let's bring you on. Happy holidays, my friend. Did you enjoy your weekend with your family?
Oh, always. Great time of the year. Kids got to get their presents from Santa. Not that many mudslides this year. That's more of a Thanksgiving drink in our family. But
interesting.
You know, beers and good times, Christmas music. And it was a good game Saturday night, too. I don't think anyone really watched it besides me and you. But that Cowboys-Cardinals game was good, too. So I can't complain. Great weekend.
Yeah, those two actually delivered. Arizona jumps up early with the pick sixes. Yeah. Kintna puts them right in the game. Everyone who bet on the Cowboys was going nuts. And then Dallas rallies late. Beeler misses the kick. Skelton leads him down the field. Larry Fitzgerald gets his only catch of the game on 4th and 18.
Yeah.
He converts. It was a very entertaining game. Did you watch LeBron and the Lakers?
Well, yeah, because my brother. So I had to watch a little of that.
What'd you think of that ass kicking?
I mean, I don't know. It's December. It's the NBA. I mean, ask me in June. I don't know. I mean, I watched the Bulls early in the morning.
I was going to say you were probably tuned into Bulls Knicks earlier that morning.
I was. I watched the Bulls early in the morning.
Entertaining game.
Yeah, I liked it that ESPN puts those NBA games all out there. I kind of liked it because there's nothing else on. I mean, how many times can you watch? I love Christmas Story. I can watch that 3 times in a row. But after that, that's it. I'm not going to watch, you know, Spike TV's 97 hours of Star Wars. You know, there's got to be something else.
No Rambo?
First Blood was on Christmas Eve. I almost called you, but I was like, no, he's probably with his family.
No, it's okay. You always get a leeway to make contact if it involves Rambo. We've established that.
That's true. But how many times can you see Luke get his hand cut off? I can't see that over and over. And I like Star Wars as a kid, and I love Christmas Story. I love Christmas Vacation. But, you know, I need some sports. I need some sports. I need to see something moving that I can't. I can't tell you what's going to come next.
And it's good for a lot of families to have that throughout the day. Even if you're not into the NBA, you kind of have it on one of the rooms.
Yes,
cousins, exactly. Nieces, nephews, everyone can kind of use that as a topic of conversation. If they're in a conversation they don't want to be in, wait a minute, I got to go see what LeBron's doing. I got to go see what Joakim looks like on the bench with the cast. By the way, what's he doing? Is he in 5th grade doodling on his cast, little symbols and things of that nature?
He's out there, man. He's out there. But the dude gets rebounds. That's all I know.
I'll tell you who looked good in that game was Carlos Boozer. He put up like 50 and 50. That was a nice little night. All right. Before we get into what we're going to do today, we're obviously going to run through the schedule. We're going to run through Pick'em. We're going to do Coaches on the Hot Seat. We're going to do playoff picture. We're going to look back at the Saints-Falcons Monday Nighter, and we're going to preview the Eagles-Vikings Tuesday night spectacular live from Lincoln Financial Field, which means I got to wrap this thing up in a reasonable amount of time because I've got to get down there and pretend like I know what I'm doing in that stadium, like I'm one of the professionals that belongs. The snow obviously pummels Philadelphia. It pushes this game to Tuesday night. I live like 40 miles north of Philly. We get a dusting. We get 3 inches. They get hammered with over a foot. I don't know how it works. I'm not a meteorologist. You in Chicago as well, though. Didn't you get pounded with some snow this weekend?
Yeah, we did. We're not like the East Coast, though. We don't start sounding alarms every time it snows. So,
right. You're used to it. You're professional when it comes to it.
Yeah. Professional, you get to shovel out and go take care of business and go back the rest of your day. That's it.
Now, I'm thinking about being outside and being in the cold because both my brothers are home. Everyone's arguing about who's going to shovel my parents' driveway, who's going to handle it. You know, no one can just step up. Everyone looks to place the responsibility on someone else. You know, you look to the youngest one and say, you do nothing. You just graduated college. Get out there. But then he says he just graduated. He's looking to take some time off, whatever. Middle one's flying up from Florida. I feel that I'm the youngest or oldest. I shouldn't have to deal with any of it. So it leads to a whole thing, and because you don't want to be outside and be cold, which brings me into a story you alluded to once with me, but you never actually told it, revolving your white ass in a towel outside a hotel room very early in the morning when you were playing for the Packers back in 2003. Am I correct in the way I've set this up?
That's correct. 2002, actually.
2002.
Yeah, 2002 season. We played at Champaign on a Monday night because the Bears are rebuilding Soldier Field.
Champaign, so, obviously, Illinois, for everyone who doesn't know. Right, like you said, Soldier Field being rebuilt. So what, University of Illinois that was?
Yeah, University of Illinois. And we stayed at like a Holiday Inn. I mean, this isn't like – it's a college town. You're not going to stay at the Ritz or, you know, the Westin down there. So
we're so sorry that you multimillionaires are for a night. Really sorry.
But anyway, you know, I was geeked up for the game. I mean, I was starting. It's the Bears. It's Monday night, you know, being a Chicago guy. And
you got a lot of family coming, I take it?
I did. You know, my folks came. A lot of my buddies were down there, you know, Watts, Brewster, these guys were down there all day pounding beer. So, you know, it was a big game for me. I was a special teams captain for the night, too. So I was geeked up. So in meetings, I'm drinking coffee. I'm drinking my Gatorade. I'm hyped up. Aaron Campman, defensive end, who's now with the Jaguars, very good friend of mine. And we played at Iowa together. But he was my roommate in the road. And I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. I had completely pissed the bed. I mean, completely pissed the bed.
Because of too much Gatorade and coffee?
Yeah, I mean, I was just so excited. So I woke up.
What are you, like 15?
Yeah, no, I'm like 5. So I'm covered in piss, right? So I don't know what to do, and I don't want to wake up Cameron. But I can't go back to bed because it's a Monday night game. You know, if it was an early game, I might, you know, say, okay, man, you know, you made a mistake. You might just have to tough it out, get out of the hotel and go to the stadium. But, I mean, we're going to be in that hotel all day on Monday. So I wrapped up my sheets, pillowcase. I was sleeping in a pair of like mesh shorts, threw those in there like a hobo bag, you know, and tie it up over your shoulder, throw a towel on and go out the door. And I'm creeping around the, you know, real quiet on the floor.
Where are you planning on taking this stuff?
I was like panicking. I don't want Campman to know I pissed the bed. So
dumbass pro athletes. You had no clue how to take care of yourself.
So I go out, I'm walking down the hallway, sneaking around. I'm like, well, I'll go to the laundry. I'm like, nah, screw that. So I creep out the back door. I'm like, I'll just throw it in the dumpster, come back in, go to the laundry, get some sheets, and I'll be good. Go out the back door, and the door closes behind me. I got no key. So I'm like, oh, man, what the hell am I going to do? So I dump the piss-covered sheets in the dumpster.
Right, get rid of the evidence.
Right. And I walk around to the front entrance of the hotel at about 3 in the morning, just a towel on. You know, I probably reek like piss. And there's this girl behind the front desk. And I'm like, look, I lost my key. I played for the Packers. She's like, yeah, right. Like, man, here we go.
Get out of here.
You know, because you walk in and some guy with a shaved head walks in with the towel on at 3 in the morning in this hotel. I mean, it was like tucked into a cornfield.
Throwing around wild allegations that he faced to the Packers.
Yeah. So I had to go through everything. I gave him my social security number, anything. I was like, look, you just got to get me back in my room. At about 15, 20 minutes of negotiations, I got back in. So I came back in. At that point I didn't make it back to the laundry. So I just flipped the mattress over and used the comforter. And, you know, those comforters, man, aren't very clean either. I don't know if you ever seen 2020 about that stuff, but there's some stuff on there that would be in like CSI episodes. And you know, I flipped the mattress over, go to bed and wake up the next morning. Cam was like, where are your sheets?
Yeah.
You know, the first thing he said.
Well, you got a roommate and you wake up and suddenly all the sheets and everything's gone. You have to wonder what was going on in this room while I was sleeping. I'm 6 feet from this guy.
I know. So I was like, Camp, you know, I spilled Gatorade on him. He's like on all of them. I was like, look. So I made it through the day, came to the stadium. We actually beat the hell out of the Bears that night, but you would never know.
How did you play?
I played pretty good. I had a real bad pass interference in the end zone on the A-train. But besides that, you know, I had some tackles, had a PBU down the field. You know, played all right. I mean, we beat them so bad, we just played coverage all night. But you never know. You turn on these games on Monday night, you never know what happens to these guys throughout the day. It's a long time from when they get to the hotel to they actually get to the stadium the next night. It's a long waiting time. For me, it was – I mean, I've never panicked like that in my life when I was out in that parking lot.
And you probably hadn't pissed your pants in probably a couple of years since college, right?
Yeah, I wasn't one of those guys when I drank beers, I pissed myself. I never was.
But coffees and Gatorade, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. That's a huge problem. That's my Bears Packers update.
Well, you update. Well, it's a fitting story because this is Bears Packers week with a lot on the line, and we are going to get to that in a bit. And you haven't told that story to many people, have you?
No, not really.
So the fine listeners of the Bump and Run get welcomed into a story that not many know. Very, very nice. That's nice of you to share around the holidays. We all appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
That'll probably get you about 10, 15 more Twitter followers.
Yeah, I hope so.
Diaper companies, adult companies,
depends.
Perverts, things of that nature. They'll all be following you now. All right, let's get into this. Let's start with Monday night. Huge game down in the dirty as the Atlanta Falcons, 19-1 career, Matt Ryan at home, welcome in the New Orleans Saints. The Saints in this one hadn't officially clinched a playoff spot. The Falcons had. Saints playing for a little bit more, still a chance to win the division, still an outside shot to win the number one seed, etc. There's a lot going on in this game. And I think more importantly, between all the numbers in that, the Saints want to establish the fact that they can play with the Falcons, that they are a team to be reckoned with in the NFC, and that they, you know, want to roll into the playoffs hot. They figure out a way to do it. They go to the half up 10-7, a low-scoring game, not what many people expected. Drew Brees throws a couple of interceptions late, one for a pick six that gets returned that puts the Saints in a 14-10 hole. But lo and behold, at the end of the game, they lead a 90-some-yard drive led by Brees down the field in the final minutes. He hits rookie tight end Jimmy Graham for a touchdown. They take a 17-14 lead. Defense holds. They get the job done, and the Saints escape with the win, 17-14. They're now 11-4 on the season, 6-2 on the road. Falcons fall to 12-3. Suddenly there's a chink in the armor. I think a lot of people are going to be concerned about that. Maybe it's not so tough to go into the Georgia Dome and get a win. Your impressions from this game, what do you think of Atlanta now? Are they still this dominant one seed that a lot of people thought a few years ago? And what do you think of the Saints? How serious do we have to take them right now?
Well, I don't think the Falcons are a dominant one seed. I think they're, you know, you group in, you know, teams like Philly and Atlanta. I'm going to take Philly. Chicago, Atlanta, I still probably take Chicago. And if New Orleans, Atlanta, again, the playoffs, I'd take New Orleans. That's not saying Atlanta can't beat these teams. Here's what I saw from last night. Atlanta's got a better defense than people think. They're very fast.
Yes.
And they're not afraid to come after anybody. That's a good sign. You want to have that going in the playoffs saying, hey, you want to see how we're going to play? Go put on the tape for the Saints game. We're going to come after your ass all night. We don't care if it's Drew Brees. We don't care if it's Vic. You know, if they play the Bears, we don't care if it's Cutler. Packers, Rodgers, whatever, they're going to come after you. You know, but there are some things where you see this is a running offense. And Matty Ice is great, I understand. This is a running offense. When Michael Turner can get limited, when teams can tackle well against him, and you put Matt Ryan in a passing situation, you can do some different things. You can learn from that tape. You see what Greg Williams did. He used a good mix of coverage and pressure. A lot of times they dropped 8 in the coverage. A lot of times they brought 6, even 7-man pressure. There's a lot of things you can do to them. Doesn't mean they're out of anything. They'll probably still get home field because they're not going to lose to Carolina this week. You don't expect them to. Flipping over to the Saints, I mean, that's the Saints. I mean, you can never count them out of a game. I mean, that fourth quarter, that drive by Brees was great. And that's coming back after he made two pretty bad decisions. Obviously, the Abraham play was a great play by Abraham. But when he tried to flip the ball, you know, the forward option pitch was a terrible decision. You don't expect to see that from Brees. But then he comes back in the fourth quarter, Joe, leads that drive, and you're like, well, that's the Saints. I mean, the Saints can play with anybody. They can get to the Super Bowl just as easily as Philly and Atlanta.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're done there?
Yeah, I think so.
You usually do a little bit of a better job wrapping it up, making it more definitive. I didn't know if you were still going to keep going.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Maybe you were pissing yourself. How am I supposed to know what's going on over there? here's an interesting thing from this game. This is kind of the way I see it. A lot of members of the media, they jumped all over the Falcons a few weeks ago. They're unstoppable at home. They're winning. This is the team that's going to the Super Bowl. I wasn't necessarily buying them just yet. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but it's just we had seen some chinks in the armor on defense. It seems like they're a team that this will be a great year of experience for them. They're having a great run, and then maybe next year is the year that they're ready to go deep. Because how much playoff experience do they really have? Yeah, they went and beat a couple years ago. They went out to Arizona and had that game, but you know, deep in the playoffs, hosting playoff games. This is still a young team when it comes to that. So I think this is the year they kind of get their feet wet deep in the postseason, and then next year they become that team. But I think this was the best possible thing that could have happened to them right now. They lose this game after, you know, they were on a big time win streak. They lose it home. So they realize A, we're not invincible at home. B, we're not invincible in general. We need to focus. We need to close strong and finish. And we need to realize that we can be beaten. You know, this is sometimes a very good sign for teams late in the season. We saw with the Saints last year, dropping a couple games late. Everyone started to get off that bandwagon, but that helped them rally late in the season. You get all these wins, sometimes you kind of get in a groove. I think this is actually, I'm more impressed with Atlanta now. I'm like the contrarian here. I didn't like Atlanta as much as everyone else prior to this. I'm more impressed with them now, especially like you said, with the way they play defense. Also, I got to slip this in there. Credit to you from last week's podcast. When I asked you to pick this game, you picked the Saints. And you basically gave a great analysis and then boiled it down to, I think the reason they win is Drew Brees makes one more play than Matty Ice in the fourth quarter. You pretty much nailed that exactly right. So kudos to you, my friend. You do get credit where credit is due. Although you know damn well I hate doing that.
I know you do, but I'll take it. I'll take whatever I can get.
You take what you can get around here.
Yeah.
Compliments are few and far between on this podcast, my friend.
True. But I like what you said, though, like the Falcons can learn from this, because that was as close to a playoff atmosphere as you're going to get. I mean,
yes,
when
sir.
Guys start fighting after almost every play and a quarterback slides and a linebacker tries to take him out of the game, because that's what it was. When Matt Ryan slid in that game and the Saints linebacker came up, put a shoulder into him, he's trying to put him down. I mean, that's the type of hits, that's the type of tackling you're going to see, that's the type of, you know, you're going to see DBs challenging receivers, going over the top of receivers. It turns into this ultra-competitive setting. And like you said, Brees makes one more play. Well, now Matt Ryan's going to see that and say, you know what, when it comes my chance, if it's in the divisional round or if it's in the championship round, I got to make that play.
Breaking news out of Chicago. Brad Biggs, great writer, Chicago Tribune, also works at the NFP, just sends a text message. I can't find Bowen's email. What the hell is it? Thank you. You two talk to each other pretty regularly, don't you?
Yeah, all day, yeah.
Maybe he was pissing his pants last night and threw his computer out by accident.
Me and Biggs were on the radio together this morning in Chicago.
I was going to say, you two talk all the time. How does he not have your email? Gmail just keeps it stored. So, all right, crisis averted. I did email him your email. I copied you on it. So big time problems are being solved here early with the NFP. For the Saints, in terms of their destiny, what do you think of this team? Greg Williams' defense looked awesome last night. You were tweeting about it, forcing that fumble from Michael Turner on the goal line. That was a huge play for that team that killed the atmosphere in the Georgia Dome. How far can this team run? We could see them back in the Super Bowl, couldn't we?
Sure. I mean, I think the NFC playoffs are going to be great. And that's no disrespect to the teams in the AFC, but I'm excited to watch this. I'm excited to see if Green Bay gets in. I'm excited to see who gets the number two seed between Philly and Chicago, because all that stuff is going to play out. And all these teams that are in it, outside of maybe the NFC West, but these top-heavy teams, it's going to be great football, great matchups. I mean, I would love to see Philly and Chicago again. I'd love to see Philly and the Saints. That'd be a great matchup.
You could kind of mix and match anybody with the exception of the NFC West winner, and you're going to get something good. Look at the quarterbacks you're going to get. You're going to get Matt Ryan. You're going to get Drew Brees, Michael Vick, possibly Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to that. Jay Cutler. A lot of good quarterbacks, a lot of talented teams, a lot of good defenses in there.
Right.
So there's a lot to get excited about. There's going to be some great matchups. Like I said, let's just get the NFC West team eliminated in the first round, and then we'll all get down the business.
Right. Well, even if St. Louis gets in, Joe, there's still a dynamic there.
I want him out.
No. You get to watch Sam Bradford rook in the playoffs. You get to see what he can do. And what if he goes in there and wins a game? What happens? Is Twitter going to blow up? Is it going to shut down?
People
going to just say, I'm done with sports?
People will be telling you they knew it. They knew he was the best quarterback ever. They knew the Rams were nasty. We'll get to the Rams.
Just like your boy, just like your boy from Philly. Yeah.
Yeah.
He knew it all along, and then we'll start getting batting averages and stuff too.
Of course. That's just how it is. Batting averages. Speaking of which, holiday season in the Fortenbaugh household, a lot of talk was spent on the Cliff Lee acquisition. All the aunts are very much in love with Cliff Lee. Everyone very happy to have him back, but we won't spend any more time on that. All right, so the Saints beat the Falcons. They're rolling. We're going to get to the playoff picture in a little bit because that kind of muddled the whole thing up. But let's get to coaches on the hot seat. And the reason we're going to bring this up, Mike Singletary out in San Francisco after yet another loss, this time at St. Louis. They were awful in that game. I actually watched it for reasons you could probably guess. But they went with Troy Smith. He's clearly not the better quarterback. Alex Smith is not very good, but Troy Smith can't do anything. He can't throw the ball downfield. Him and Singletary get into a heated exchange on the sidelines. You know, anytime San Francisco had a chance to be in this game, they figured out how to just completely blow it. Your take on this, was this the right move? Should Singletary be gone? Does San Francisco need to rebuild?
Oh, without a doubt. And I understand why they did it. Leaving to the final week gives them an extra week to call up coaches and beg them to come work for them. So, San Francisco's got a lot of talent, though, a lot of young talent. You talk about guys like Vernon Davis and Michael Crabtree. They're good talent. They got to get the coach in there that's going to know how to use them right, though. They got to get a quarterback, too. Those guys, they need a clean house. They need three new quarterbacks.
It's like
one through three. They need three new guys. And if it's the draft, if it's a veteran, if it's a guy like Mark Bulger for 1 year, I don't know. But you got to get someone in there that can run the damn offense. Because this thing has been embarrassing all season. They've been a joke. They've been a joke, Joe.
They had high expectations, too.
Everyone picked them. They were the hottest team in August, man. Everyone picked them. There's people picking them to go to the NFC Championship game, saying this is the year for the Niners. Singletary's got them going. You know, things are going to happen. Alex Smith is back. Vernon Davis finished strong the year before. Frank Gore. And then when they added Westbrook, it was like, oh, man, now they got a third down back. The defense couldn't stop anyone either. I mean, that all stems from the head coach. There was obviously dysfunction at the top. And when you make a quarterback change in the fourth quarter of a game, you got to win. I mean, really? You're just contradicting yourself.
You're just all over the place at that point.
Yeah.
You're all over the place. It's a mess. You know what they need to do? They need to follow the Atlanta model. Bring in a first-time GM, a first-time head coach, and a rookie quarterback all together as a package. Let those three be tied together at the hip so they're all invested in each other's success and start from there. Because you saw Atlanta do it. They bring in Thomas Dimitroff from New England. They bring in Mike Smith, who was, I believe, in Jacksonville prior to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then they draft Matt Ryan. And it seems to be working. Maybe that's what you do. You realize it takes a couple of years to build, but that's how you get it going. But the quarterback's been the issue there for how many years? So this now marks the fourth quarterback who's already gotten the chop this year. Wade Phillips out in Dallas, Chili out in Minnesota. McDaniels gets axed in Denver. Now Singletary at San Francisco. That gives us four. I'm going to run through some teams and some scenarios and get your opinion on the hot seat moving into the rest of the 1 week that's left of the regular season and then the postseason. Which of these guys will be fired, in your opinion? Let's start with San Diego and North Turner. They're saying he's safe. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like it's going to be. I mean,
financial issues.
Yeah, financial issues. I mean, let's talk about from a football aspect. He should be gone.
Exactly. That was what I was going to get to. I don't care what they say.
Yeah.
Has he earned the right to still be there?
No. They're underachievers, whatever the word is you want to describe. They have one of the best offenses in the NFL, and one of the best defenses in the NFL. They can't close out games. They can't win crucial games. They start slow. They try to rely on these quick, fast finishes to the season to get into the playoffs. And then when they get in the playoffs, they're not going to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, you got to get someone new in there. I don't agree with keeping them. I don't care what the reasons are, financial reasons, whatever. You tell your fans you're trying to save money. Good luck selling tickets.
Exactly. They've already had enough issues getting blacked out in the past. Good luck with people buying into another year of North Turner. Watching that Cincinnati game, it only took 6 minutes for me to realize exactly what was going on. I have watched that game a dozen times over the last 2 or 3 years. They come out in a game they should obviously win, and they start real slow. The other team gets up on them, and it's not just that the other team's up maybe 17-14 at the end of one. It's a good game, and the defense isn't playing well. It's the defense isn't getting stops. The offense is going 3 and out, and you're staring at it. You're going, I know this game. I've seen it. They're digging their hole now. They'll make a little rally late to get you excited, but in the end, they're going to lose this game. It happened with New England. Everyone blames I can't remember who the kicker was that they brought in. I think Chris Brown. They brought in place of Kading because he was hurt in the game against New England. Well, if he makes that field goal, they win. Right, but if they don't fall down 23-3 to start the game, maybe they have a better chance of winning. Get some stops on defense, score some points on offense. That's just what this team is. They can never put it together, and you can never trust a team like that to go to the Super Bowl. And that's what this team is supposed to be built for. You talk about not wanting to fire Phillips and his staff because of the money. What about paying Phillip Rivers $100 million and not going to the Super Bowl? Not blaming him, but you're going to pay him $100 million, back that investment, and get where you need to get to.
Right. And North Turner will be an outstanding coordinator for the San Diego Chargers. I love his offense. I really do. I love his offense. But the leadership, he doesn't have the leadership. Because that's what you have to question. When a team routinely does this over and over, the leadership has to come into question. This is a win-now league. This isn't college football. You're not building programs. You win now. You bring in guys, when you draft guys in the NFL, now, okay, let's give them 2 to 3 years, and by their junior year, they're ready. No, they play now or you cut. Same with the coach. You win now, they get his ass out of it.
All right, North Turner were ruling as safe, but shouldn't be safe. We'll mark it as financial issues. Number three, Kubes, Gary Kubiak in Houston. Another big disappointing year for them. Is he gone?
Oh, yeah. He's got to go. Houston is worse than they were last year. That's basically – they've gotten worse than, you know, the 500 club they've been, you know, predominantly have been under Gary Kubiak. They're a bad football team. They're a fantasy football team.
That's what they are.
You play fantasy, you want those guys on offense. They're not going to close games when they count, but in fantasy, they'll get you a ton of numbers. They're going to look good. They got a lot of sex appeal, but they don't close games. And the defense in Houston is absolutely terrible. This isn't any disrespect to Tim Tebow. It's only a second start. He's going to get better. That's a different conversation. But to let a kid in the second start throw for 300 against you and bring a team back, and we're talking about a quarterback that was supposed to be a super developmental project, that's kind of the nail in the coffin because they can't stop anyone. And it's time to bring in a coach in Houston who is going to be defensive minded.
And maybe tough. Toughen that team up. Have some pride and finish the game in the fourth quarter.
Right, right. Coach them hard. Coach them like pros, but coach them hard.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
You know, Cowher's going to be a hot name there. He is. Because that's an attractive job. I mean, you already got the offensive talent in place.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Arian Foster, too. Remember that. I mean, you got the talent place on offense. You got a great brand-new stadium, a great fan base. It's warm most of the year. I mean, it'd be a great place to coach. You drive down the South Padre for spring break. I mean, there's a lot of options out there, man. So I'm just saying that they should go after Bill Cowher. Why not? I don't think they'll get him. But if they don't get Cowher, it's got to be a defensive guy. It's got to be a defensive guy.
All right, Tony Sperano in Miami, your thoughts?
He's hamstrung by his quarterback, man. He really is.
1-7 at home this year.
Yeah.
Lots of disappointing performances. Some good performances on the road. It's like we've said, they can run. They've got Brandon Marshall. They can play defense. My God, the quarterback position. Pull the plug on Chad Henne already.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the problem. If you fire Sperano, Joe, I'm just worried you're going to take the toughness away from that team. Because that's a big part of the NFL. I like how they play. They're a physical team. Me and you have talked about their defense all year. They got a pretty solid defense. I know the last couple weeks they have stumbled, but they got the pieces in place. They're tough. They're physical. They just need a quarterback change.
Maybe we'll have to get John Kitna.
I mean, that would work. Bulger would work. I'm telling you. A guy like Bulger would work. A guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick would be perfect down there.
Yeah, that's true, too. You just need someone who can get the ball down the field. You know, you don't need them to necessarily win games. Just don't suck. No, just don't be so awful you can't get first downs.
Decision-making. A veteran quarterback is decision. Now, if you draft a rookie, I don't think that's the way to go. You got to have someone to play immediately. That's why I think it's got to be a veteran quarterback, good decision-maker. And when he goes on the field in third downs, he's saying, I have two targets, Devon Best and Brandon Marshall. That's it. I'm getting the ball to these guys somehow.
All right, Kubiak out, Sperano. You know what it sounds like? One more year.
That's what I think.
One more year. And show us something.
Right.
All right. Marvin Lewis, Cincinnati.
See you later, man. He's got to go. They have to retool that entire franchise. They got some players on defense I would keep around, obviously. And they got some talent on offense I would keep Cedric Benson around. I would actually keep Palmer around. But, I mean, T.O.'s going to be gone. Ocho should probably be gone. And Marvin Lewis needs to go. He's just – I mean, to go from being a division champ and sweeping the AFC North now to what they did this year, you can't blame that.
That's been the model the last, like, six years. Good season, awful season. Good season, awful season.
Yeah, and, you know, people are going to try to point fingers at, like, you can't blame T.O. T.O. had a great season. I mean, T.O. was a number one receiver.
He did everything you could have asked for in the offseason when you signed him.
Yeah, I mean, he's an older guy, and he put up numbers. Now, Palmer played terrible. You know, you need a new offense. You need a new feel of that locker room. You need a new coach because there's still a lot of talent there. You could turn that around pretty quickly. So I think he's got to go and he's got to bring someone in.
John Fox, Carolina.
He's been gone since August. I mean, that's a project, though, now. That's a big project in Carolina. If you're going to bring in a coach, I would think maybe a guy like a Raheem Morris, a young coordinator who's not a big name, but someone that the players are going to rally around to have good player-coach relationship and start building that team up. Because there's a lot of holes. There's a big question mark at quarterback. Jimmy Clausen is just not a starting quarterback. Doesn't mean he won't be somewhere down the road, but right now he's not a starting NFL quarterback. And it sounds like if Andrew Luck comes out, that's going to be their pick. So you're going to work with a rookie quarterback again.
Tom Cable, Oakland.
Oh, you got to keep Cable.
Nice Oakland, year for them.
Yeah, Oakland's playing good football. I mean, obviously there were bigger games this weekend, Bears, Jets, the Packers, Giants. But that game in Oakland was a hell of a football game. It took Indianapolis down the wire. They're physical. They're tough. Cable's winning with, marginal talent. Jason Campbell, Bruce Gradkowski at quarterback. They got a pretty solid defense. But the core of that team is running the football. And Tom Cable got Darren McFadden to turn into more than just an edge rusher. He turned him into a physical football player. I think you got to keep him. Let him punch anyone in the face he wants because that's the type of guy he is. But he's kind of
– how that team does it, man. It's a silver and black. They're going to punch you in the face.
When I see that guy, he looks like the Oakland Raiders head coach.
Yep.
He just does, man. And that's not the type of guy you want to go out to dinner with, like a nice place. He would dress like Rick Vaughn from like Major League.
Exactly.
You know, with the biker jacket, no sleeves, and a tie.
Man, that's uses French, has no idea what to do.
Yeah, asking for chili dogs at the French restaurant. Yeah. I mean, he is Rick Vaughn, but I like him. I like him a lot. I think Oakland's going places if they can build around that team.
Eric Mangini in Cleveland.
That's a tough call. I mean, I don't know what to think of Cleveland. I mean, they play good in spots this year. You know, they're competitive this past weekend against Baltimore, but they're just not there yet. Now, that's the decision you make. Do you want to start over again? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You got a young quarterback, Colt McCoy.
Yeah, no receivers.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pieces you still need for that puzzle in Cleveland. And it sounds like some of the players actually bought into Mangini this year. You know, he took them out of pads a lot more this season than he did in the past. There's some things going on out in Cleveland that the players are responding to. I just hope you don't see one of these things where Mike Holmgren comes down and says, I'm the coach now. You know, I don't know. I don't want to see that. I don't think it's the best idea. Let Holmgren do what he's doing and get the talent in there for the head coach. But I think he stays. I think he stays.
Tom Coughlin and the New York Giants.
Oh, that's a tough one because that's going to be a super attractive job if he's gone. Big media market, a lot of talent. Eli Manning, a quarterback. I think you keep him. How quickly, though, Joe, do we forget that Tom Coughlin has a Super Bowl ring? How quickly do we forget that?
And right before that, he was on a one-year deal basically saying, get something done or you're out. And he responded by winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they beat what some people say is still the best team of all time to lose in the Super Bowl in the Patriots. So, I don't know. They made a lot of improvements on defense this year with Perry Fuel. We get to tell that defense we're gonna put in a whole nother new system again this April. I know coaching changes aren't as easy as they sound. I mean, they're sexy. They sell hope. Trust in playing for the Redskins. There's a lot of hope being sold in these off seasons when you make a head coaching change. But I think Coughlin stays.
Even what happens if he loses to Washington this weekend or wins against Washington but doesn't make the playoffs? You still think he's got a job?
Yeah, I still think he's got a job.
So worst case scenario, they lose to Washington, they don't make the playoffs. You still think he's got at least another year?
I do. I think he's got at least one more season. Yeah.
Finally, Tennessee, Jeff Fisher.
Oof. Now, see, this is going to be the most interesting one of them all, Joe, because the quarterback comes into play. You got an owner in Bud Adams who wants Vince Young to be his quarterback.
The only guy in the world that wants Vince Young at quarterback is the owner of the Tennessee Titans.
Right, but he's the one who signs the checks.
Right.
That's the only problem. I mean, it's the only problem. And you got a coach who doesn't want anything to do with Vince Young, wants nothing to do with Vince Young. Jeff Fisher didn't even want to draft Vince Young. That's where the story started. He did not want him on his football team. The owner said, we're drafting him, take him, make him our quarterback. And Fisher has been, poking at Vince Young since he's got there, finding ways to get him on the sideline. That's what Jeff Fisher's been doing. So if you're going to keep Vince Young, then Jeff Fisher's not your coach. That's my take on it. And if Jeff Fisher leaves, he's going to be the hottest coaching candidate on the market outside of Bill Cowher.
And it's like, Jesus, if you let Fisher go, somebody's getting a lot better. If you let Vince Young go, you're getting better. No one else is getting better. Who's going to give him a shot? Maybe someone brings him in, but the guy's too soft to be a leader in the NFL. All right, that's the coaching hot seat. Now let's get into pick 'em for the week. Well, quickly, we'll run through tonight's game. 5-9 Minnesota at 10-4 Philadelphia. I believe this game will be played on NBC. It was originally flexed to the Sunday night game, but because of the blizzard that came in the city of brotherly love on Sunday, the game got moved for safety issues. Philly opens as a 13.5-point favorite, currently a 14.5-point favorite. Brett Favre not expected to play with the concussion, chest, ankle, groin, head, every injury in the book. But who knows? At game time, he'll probably be under center. Adrian Peterson should go, but we can't trust the Vikings after the way they shanked us all last week on that bullshit. And that's basically that. Philly's moderately healthy on offense. The defense is a little banged up. Nate Allen, the rookie free safety out of South Florida, he's done for the year. When you look at this game, just hit me with it quick. Any chance Minnesota makes this a game, especially if Joe Webb's a quarterback?
No. Philly will pressure the hell out of him. And offensively for the Eagles, they'll get big plays. That Minnesota secondary needs a lot of change. They give up too many big plays. If they play cover two against Macklin and D-Jack, Vic will get plays down the field. I think Philly wins this one walking away.
So this game is what we think it is.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
you think they can cover that 14.5?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you you're thinking route is on in South Philadelphia?
I think so. Unless Philly comes out and starts putting the ball on the ground, which would be uncommon, and Vic starts throwing picks, no. I mean, they're not going to – Joe Webb is not going to move the football. He's just not.
All right. How funny has the last 3 weeks summed up Minnesota's season? They're supposed to be a potential Super Bowl contender. They completely flop. Favre completely flops. Their roof collapses, forcing a game to Detroit 2 weeks ago. Then the roof isn't repaired in time so that they can play at home against the Bears on Monday night. So they have to go to TCF Bank Field and where the Golden Gophers play. And then they come to Philadelphia. Finally, they escape the mess. And a blizzard hits Philly, and they get stuck in the hotels and postpone two nights. How does this sum up their season?
And add on top of that, they're doing it with an interim head coach.
Oh man, it's Joe. I shouldn't say that. It's been a very rough year for Minnesota. Very disappointing. Hopefully, they can turn it around next season. You don't.
Hey, your boy, Donnie Mac might be there next year.
God. I'm done with all that saga. No more saga for me. I just want some football.
Don't follow the Redskins. You'll be fine.
I try not to. It's in my face every day. Redskins, you know, win some football games. Well, actually, they have been. We'll get to that in a minute. All right. Here we go. Week 17, pick 'em. I cut the lead from 4-3 last week. Not exactly what I was looking for. A nice little week at 4-1. I had Denver, which was a bit of a shocker. Kansas City, New Orleans, and Green Bay. I lost with the Jets. That's where you got your win on me. You had Chicago. You also had Kansas City and New Orleans, but you went 3-2. You lost with the Giants, lost with Houston. So I catch up one game. It's down to three. I've got six games on the schedule for the final week for this bet, the Carmine's dinner bet in Chicago next time I'm in town. Six games on the schedule with an opportunity for me to try to swing this thing. We will also have another bet for the playoffs, but this is it. It all comes down to this, these six games. I've already made my picks. We will rotate back and forth. You can choose whether or not you want to go first or second. I'm just going to go right down the schedule. So when we get to the first one, I'll let you know. Other than that, we're just going to do the normal rundown for these other games that aren't on the pick 'em schedule, but we will be talking about all of them and making our picks, et cetera, et cetera. Do you understand the rules?
I do.
You do? Okay, good. You've led pretty much the whole way. You don't have anything to worry about, I don't think. I'm going to try to pull a hustle on you late here, but I don't think it's going to work. All right. First game on the schedule, all divisional games this week. We'll be talking the playoff picture as well. 13-2 New England, hosting 7-8 Miami. The game's off the board, as you'll see with many games as of Tuesday. With Philly and Minnesota still to play, playoff positioning, weather, Vegas hasn't come out with a lot of lines yet. New England has clinched the number one seed in the playoffs for the AFC. They have home field throughout, a tremendous season for Tom Brady and the Patriots. Miami, like we said, 1-7 at home. However, they have won, I guess it's 7-8. They've won six games on the road this year. So they are looking decent as a road team. Who knows if New England's going to start people. Usually Belichick likes to start everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Wes Welker at Houston last year blows the knee out. Huge loss for that team. Do you see them starting all their players, number one? And number two, who do you see winning this thing?
Yeah, they'll start their players. Belichick plays his guys every preseason game too. I mean, he doesn't give breaks. They don't play football like that. It's everyone plays. Everyone does their job. He didn't pull Tom Brady until about 3 minutes left in that Bears game. Well, they're out by about 700 points. So I'm taking the Patriots. It's Brady versus Henny. No chance. I'm taking the Pats.
All right. Game number two. Thank God this one's a wrap. I don't have to worry about it. 4-11 Buffalo at 10-5 the New York Jets. Game also off the board. No spread as of yet. When you look at this one, the Jets are in the playoffs. There's some wild card positioning. They are one of the wild card teams. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe with a win and a Baltimore or Pittsburgh loss. Actually, they lost to Baltimore in the tiebreaker. They beat Pittsburgh. So they would need Pittsburgh to lose to get a better playoff positioning. But regardless, they're a wild card team. They're going to have to go through a tough schedule. Any chance Buffalo heads to New York this week and gets a win and finishes strong?
No, I'm taking the Jets. You and I talked about a little yesterday. I was kind of disappointed in the way Buffalo played against the Patriots. I know they haven't beaten them since 03, but they've been playing good football and competing for most of the season. They got their butts kicked at home against the Pats. I'm taking the Jets this week.
You think that has anything to do with the fact that New England came off a game that Belichick said afterwards he wasn't very impressed with how they played against the Packers and Matt Flynn on Sunday night? You think they had a good week of practice?
Oh, yeah. I bet you that meeting on Monday after that Packers win was atrocious for the players. I bet you they got a good lecture from the head coach.
And at that point, they're 12-2, and they've won, and they're still getting lectured and yelled at. That's how well-oiled machine that team is.
Yep.
All right. First game in Pick'em. Would you like to select the first game, or would you like me to select first?
You go first.
All right. I will be going first. First game of the Pick'em Challenge, 7-8 Oakland at 10-5 Kansas City. Kansas City has won the AFC West. They are heading back to the playoffs. Oakland is out of contention, but they have a chance to spoil Kansas City a little bit. They also have a chance to finish. This game's off the board. Oakland coming off the home loss to Indianapolis. Kansas City coming off the blowout win against Tennessee. Real quickly on that, did you notice how late in the game they pulled Matt Castle? They put Brody Croyle in. Croyle was so bad, they yanked him and put Castle in. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did.
In a blowout, the backup should not be getting yanked for the starter.
Yeah.
But, all right, if the pick is on me here, I'm going to tell you, I like the way Oakland plays football. Punch them in the mouth. It's an opportunity. They know this is their last game of the year no matter what. Come out, try to catch KC. KC's won the division. There's not too much more to play for. Maybe they get caught celebrating a little bit this week. I'm going to take the Raiders.
That's a nice pick. I like the Raiders pick in this game, but I'm taking the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to play well. I think offensively, with Castle back, they're doing the right things. I think they take this game because they need to get one more win going into the playoffs. They need to feel good about themselves going into the playoffs and continue to get better going into the playoffs. You don't want to go into the playoffs just for getting your ass kicked. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Okay, very good analysis. So we got a little bit of a difference there. I was hoping for that one. All right, this one's not on the schedule. 4-11 Cincinnati at 11-4 Baltimore. Cincinnati coming off the impressive home win against the San Diego Chargers. Impressive, I guess, by their standards, certainly not by San Diego's. Meanwhile, Baltimore, another win for them. They go to Cleveland. They handle business. Not an exciting game, but they do what they need to do. They're 11-4, still fighting for that division. With them and Pittsburgh have both made the playoffs, but the division is still up for grabs, so they need to play as hard as they can in this one. This game is on the board. Ravens -9.5 is how it opens. It has since moved in their favor. It is Baltimore -10. What do you see here?
I'm taking the Ravens. This is a big game for Baltimore. They need a win. They need a win just in case Pittsburgh drops a game, because this is a huge difference between being the 5 seed and being the 2 seed. So this is a big game for Baltimore. They'll take care of Cincinnati. Cincinnati got their parade win last week. Those guys, their lockers are already packed in Cincinnati. They are ready to go home. I'm taking the Ravens.
Yeah, not only that, the difference between the 2 and the 5. The 5, you're playing the first weekend on the road. The 2, you're at home for a week, and then you – home is in, you're not playing, and then the next week you come back to host a game.
Yeah.
So that is a big difference for them. Big for Baltimore. It'd be amazing. Baltimore and Pittsburgh both win. Somebody with 12 wins for a wild card team. And so would the Jets. The Jets beat the Bills. Your wild card teams in the AFC have 12 wins and 11 wins.
That's why that division's loaded. I mean, that's why that conference is loaded, and the top-heavy teams are all good playoff-ready football teams.
Goodness gracious. All right. This game, believe it or not, is part of the Pick'em Challenge because I like this one. It's off the board, so there is no spread as of right now. Ford Field, 1 o'clock, 5-9 Minnesota at 5-10 Detroit. Don't look now. The Lions are red hot and making a statement, getting ready to roll into next year. Back-to-back road wins for the first time since, I believe, 2004, as they go to Tampa and shock the Bucks. Then they go to Miami and beat the Dolphins late. Minnesota, meanwhile, will be playing Tuesday night at Philadelphia. The wheels have been coming off the bus there. Who do you like in this one?
Well, it depends. You think Favre comes back for one more game?
It would probably be his last game ever because he's going to retire. So you'd have to figure he's going to want to go out on a high note.
Right. Yeah. Even saying that, though, I think Minnesota is done. After that Monday night game against the Bears, showed us where they are. You and I both like the way Detroit's playing. I'm going to take the Lions.
I'm on the Lions as well. I was kind of hoping I could catch you on that one, that you would take the
Lions. I just can't do it.
You love Favre, though. Why wouldn't you just one more miracle?
He's got a torn up shoulder. He can't throw the ball down the field. I don't care if he's on the field or not.
Big Sue could kill him.
Big Sue could. I mean, he really could destroy him. It could be like a steel cage match.
All right, this game's also on the schedule, but it's also off the board. No spread as of yet. 9-6 Tampa Bay coming off a thrashing of the Seattle Seahawks. Damn, the Seahawks stink on the road this year. Yeah, that is the easiest bet in sports. They get blown out away from home every week. And, hey, every now and again they get blown out at home too. They travel to New Orleans to take on the red-hot 11-4 New Orleans Saints, coming off the big win at Atlanta that we discussed earlier. Tampa's been good this year. They've turned some heads. They've surprised some people. They got a shot to win 10 games, but they have zero signature wins out of their nine. Their nine wins right now, nothing impressive, really. The six losses are all the big games they played this year. Any chance they go to the Voodoo Dome and pull off the upset?
No, that's going to be a great football game. They play hard, and they will compete with people. But, no, this game's too important for the Saints. It's too important because, for some reason, if Atlanta drops a game, I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen. After that win this last night, I think the Saints are ready to take care of the Bucs and get into the playoffs. It doesn't matter if you clinch this playoff spot. You still need to play well to finish the season. And Tampa – I mean, I give Raheem Morris a lot of credit for the season he's had, but he's not on the same level yet with Sean Payton and the Saints.
So you got the Saints here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. So nothing different there. So we're the same on Detroit. We're the same on the Saints. We differ in Oakland, KC. 2-13 Carolina at 12-3 Atlanta. Atlanta coming off that loss. Now, good news for fantasy owners that go into Week 17. They've got to play their starters. They have to win this game. Games off the board as well. No spread has been set by Vegas. Carolina, chance to maybe ruin Atlanta a little bit here late in the year, but John Fox's last game, maybe they get up to show him a little bit of respect. What do you think here?
They just don't have the quarterback right now to do it. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, I would love to see, if they had a veteran quarterback that could at least move the offense and you say, hey, man, maybe this is a huge upset. Week 17 upset that's going to flip the playoffs completely, but not with Jimmy Clausen. Atlanta will take care of him.
Yeah, I think so as well. There's good teams need to finish strong. Carolina might put up a little bit of fight here. If this is a big spread, you might want to watch out, but I doubt it. It's in Atlanta. Atlanta needs to win. They're going to be focused coming off the loss. In a game that means something for one team, not the other, 11-4 Pittsburgh at 5-10 Cleveland. The Browns obviously eliminated the playoff race. The Steelers, as we mentioned earlier, need this win to wrap up the AFC first round bye. Stuck having to play on the road in the divisional round or the wild card round when you could be at home relaxing, getting ready for a home game in the divisional round. Pittsburgh opens as a 6-point favorite. They are still a 6-point favorite. Any chance Cleveland shocks the world here?
No, I don't think they're going to shock the world. It'll be an ugly game. It'll be very similar to what you're talking about with the same Browns team and the Ravens from this past Sunday. A lot of punts, special teams will be big, but I'll take Big Ben at the end. Steelers move on.
8-7 Jacksonville at 5-10 Houston. This is going to be a very interesting game for people to handicap. Game's currently off the board. Both teams, Jacksonville isn't officially out of playoff contention, but they need help to get in. I think they need a win and an Indianapolis Colts loss. So not looking too pretty. Here's the concern. Houston stinks. We know that. We absolutely know that. We know that there's nothing for them to play for. Jacksonville, however, while they have something to play for, the huge letdown loss to the Redskins last week. I mean, absolutely huge loss. Huge letdown. Is there any way they are able to overcome that, go to Houston, and get a win? Oh, wait. No, this is not part of the pick'em, so go ahead and say whatever you want to say.
I think Jacksonville gets to win this week. I think Houston has completely packed it in. That second half against the Broncos prove that. And Jacksonville's just too physical. They'll run the ball all over them this weekend. They will run the ball all over that Houston defense. I'm taking the Jags.
All right. Divisional leaders. Okay, I'm just trying to make sure I've got this. So you got the Jags. I would take the Jags, too. You can't trust Houston. You go to Denver and lose, blow that lead. Yeah. I got no faith from me. All right.
Also, this is not part of the Pick'em Challenge. 9-6 New York Giants at 6-9 Washington Redskins. Giants opened as a 3-point favorite. They're now a 4-point favorite. Washington coming off an impressive road win at Jacksonville. David Garrard throws the big interception, I believe, in overtime. Washington and Rex Grossman capitalized. Grossman didn't look nearly as good as he did in the game against Dallas, but hey, he got the win. And he's very close to being 2-0 as a starter for the Redskins this year. Meanwhile, there's Big Blue. Mm-hmm. Since collapsing against the Eagles in their final five quarters of football, they've given up over 700 yards of offense and close to 73 points. The wheels have been off the bus. They got stranded in Green Bay for two nights. They weren't able to get back to New York. They're going to return home Tuesday if the weather clears up. Is there any chance this team can rally late? They don't even control their own destiny anymore. Right. For them to get in, they need to win, and they need Green Bay to lose.
Yeah, I mean, they need a lot of help. And first thing is first, I got to beat the Redskins. No, I don't like the Redskins. I don't. I don't like them at all right now. Even though they beat Jacksonville, I don't like them with Grossman. I think this will be a lot different. There's a big difference between getting beat in man cover versus Aaron Rodgers compared to Rex Grossman. I think they will come after Grossman like crazy. And then the flip side of it, can you count on, you know, Fletcher and that Redskins defense to shut down the Giants running game the entire day? I don't think so. I think the Giants get this win. I really do. I don't know if that gets into the playoffs, but I think they get this win.
This is a game I wouldn't touch in picking in Vegas and anything, but it's going to be very interesting to see how it pans out. Obviously, sharp bettors early on betting the Giants up to 4 points from three, but I don't know. This team is in a free fall.
Yeah.
I mean, who is the leader? You and I talk about this all the time. Who is the guy that is stepping up right now to tell this team, let's shake it off and let's win? I mean, is it supposed to be Eli Manning for $100 million? I would think so. Where is Brandon Jacobs? He's a veteran of this team. He's been around for a while. Where's Osu Minyora? Who's the guy on defense that filled the void when Strahan left? It's almost like you can never find a leader on this team. No one ever steps up and addresses the media and tells you how it is. So, I don't know. I don't trust them. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost this game. We've seen this team collapse before. 5-10 Arizona at 5-10 San Francisco. Niners open as a 6.5-point favorite. Still a 6.5-point favorite. I'll tell you why this game was on the board and why it's not off like everything else. Neither team got anything to play for. Both teams stink. Both teams have embarrassed themselves this year. This is about as bad as it gets. San Francisco's coming in without Mike Singletary. If you have to pick someone here, who do you pick?
I'll take Arizona just because. I don't know what to say. I mean, I don't really know what to say. Those Niner players know that they're going to have a new coach. Niner players know they might not even be there next year. Let's be realistic. There's a big coaching change. There's going to be half that roster eliminated. So they're going to try to stay healthy and get ready to go down to the Bahamas for the vacation. So I'll take the Cardinals.
Maybe they should be the team that moves to L.A.
Yeah.
All right. This game is part of the Pick'em Challenge. What is it here? I think I have to pick this one first. I took Oakland. Then you took Detroit. Then I took New Orleans. We both took New Orleans. So this one's on you first.
Okay.
Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right. So this one's on you. Where are we at here? 8-7 San Diego at 4-11 Denver. Nothing to play for here, but I'm throwing it on the schedule because I needed extra games. San Diego -3.5 to open, still -3.5. They are eliminated from playoff contention, so will they show up to play? Denver has stunk all year. They're coming off a big win. Tim Tebow has rallied this team. Who do you like here? I think you know where I'm probably going.
Yeah, I think you're going to take Denver. I think you hate North Turner. I think you hate the Chargers. So I'll take the Chargers. I think the Chargers defense is going to give the young quarterback some problems this week.
You know, I respect the fact that you're not playing defense here to try to win this pick'em thing. You're not resting your starters at the end of the season. You're going full tilt and really trying to throttle me here late. I am going to take Denver, and I'll tell you why. Last week I took them against Houston. They won. They got me back a game, so I got to show them respect. I like what Tebow's doing. And, yeah, San Diego, you've quit. I've tried to back you before, and you've let me down, so I'm not going to back you now. I will take a red-hot Denver team over your ice-cold asses any day. Here's another one we've got to pick. I'll do this one first. It's off the board right now, but this is the big one, so we can spend a couple minutes here. 11-4 Chicago at 9-6 Green Bay. Lambeau Field, 4:15 Fox. This is the game of the weekend because this will shape a lot of the NFC playoff picture. Green Bay coming off the huge home blowout win over the New York Giants, a must-win situation. Aaron Rodgers delivers with 400 yards passing. Chicago continues to get it done. Outside of the New England loss, they've won like 8 of 9 or 7 of 8. They are just absolutely, they're playing fantastic football right now. Jay Cutts rolling up the touchdowns. He makes his, you know, standard interceptions and mistakes every week, but he still gets it right. done. Now, here's how this works out. Chicago wins. Congratulations, you've got the 2 seed in the bye. Chicago loses, and Philadelphia wins. Philadelphia slips into the 2 seed. Green Bay is in the playoffs with a win. They are also in, I believe, with a win and a New York loss and also a Tampa Bay loss. So there's some leeway. They control their own destiny, which is nice for Packer fans, considering they lost to Detroit not too long ago and also what's the other game? At New England. So, right. Bowen, I got to pick this game first. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Get it right out of the way. I'm going Packers. They're hot. It means more for them. The Bears are in regardless. I know it means a lot to them too. I'll take the hot Packer team at Lambeau right now in a must-win situation to make the playoffs.
I like the pick. I like it a lot, but I'm going to go against you. I'm taking the Bears. I think from an X's and O's standpoint, I like cover two a lot better against Aaron Rodgers than these pressure teams that try to go after him and challenge receivers in the secondary. What you want to do with the cover two defense is this. Against a quarterback like Rodgers, make him put together 10, 12, 13 play drives. Okay? That's what you want him to do. That's what they did in the first meeting. What happens throughout that time is the offense eventually will make a mistake. That's kind of the theory. It's kind of a generic.
They will hold. They will do something.
It's a generic theory, but a lot of times it works. Green Bay had a ton of penalties in that first game. I know it's a long time ago. And they had a ton of penalties. They had a ton of penalties because they're getting beat. They're holding, they're grabbing, or moving their feet. But I like the way Cutler's playing. I like the way that Matt Forte's playing. I think they can produce some points against this Green Bay defense. Yes, there's always a risk of turnovers with Jay Cutler. That's going to be now. It's going to be 5 years from now. That's never going to change. But defensively, I think the Bears can do enough to hold the Packers around 17 points. And if they can do that, they get the win. And I always go back to what Lovie Smith said. The first day he took his job here in Chicago, the first thing he said is number one goal was to beat the Packers. That was number one goal. It wasn't about the Super Bowl playoffs. People were in an uproar in Chicago. But that's just what the number one goal was to beat the Packers. I think this game means a lot for both teams, but I'm going with Chicago.
Chicago has a chance to win 12 games this year if they can get out of this one. Great season for the Bears. Not getting enough credit as you would think a team like that would. And you, my friend, have pegged them very well the last few weeks. You didn't pick them against New England, so you got that right, but you've been on them a lot of weeks around that. So you have this team pegged. That's the true sign of knowing your hometown team. You've got to be able to get to win games with your local team. 5-10 Dallas at 10-4 Philadelphia. Stephen McGee from Texas A&M gets the start for the Cowboys. Looks like Kitna will be out. Game is off the board. Philly plays, obviously, Tuesday night against Minnesota. They will be on short rest. It's home game 4:15 on Fox. Any chance Dallas tries to make some decisions here?
It's a big tough for McGee, quarterback. I mean, he made a big play in that Arizona game. I mean, a real big play for a rookie.
He made up.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He made a big play. Great for the offseason tape. Say, look at me. I could throw the ball in the NFL. But no, it's not going to happen. Philly will take that game.
I'm in the same boat. I think Philly closes strong. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Bears, though. That number two seed is very, very coveted right now. Yeah. So those are going to be two very important games, and they're both playing. Let me make sure. Yeah, they're both playing 4:15.
Yep.
6-9 Tennessee at 9-6 Indianapolis. Colts open as an 8.5-point favorite. Already moved to 9.5. Colts need to win. They win and they're in. They win the division. Everything's taken care of. They're back to the playoffs. Crisis averted. Meanwhile, Tennessee, the wheels have completely come off the bus. Any chance Tennessee goes into Lucas Oil, rallies a little bit, makes this interesting, or should Indianapolis just smash them?
I don't know if they'll smash them, but if I want to put money on a game, and Peyton Manning's got to have a game to get in the playoffs, I'm going to take Peyton Manning. I mean, Tennessee is – I mean, we don't really talk about it much because there's so much respect about Jeff Fisher, but that's a dysfunctional franchise right now. They're in a lot of trouble. They need a lot of change. And then, like we talked about before, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with Fisher this offseason, but no, they're done.
And the final game on the schedule, possibly the biggest game the NFL has ever seen. 7-8 St. Louis at 6-9 Seattle. The winner is in the playoffs. This game is at Quest Field Sunday night.
8:20, exactly where it belongs. All the marbles, NBC. St. Louis opens as a 1.5-point favorite. It's since dropped to 1. Could it possibly be that there's some early action on the Seahawks? Looks like Charlie Whitehurst might get the start here. These are two teams. Who knows? I think they've combined for 1 win over the last 5 weeks. Bowen, I'm going to pick this one first. You've shown integrity. Right. I'm going Seattle for two reasons. Yeah. One, I think you're going St. Louis, which has no bearing on an actual pick, which I shouldn't admit that I'm doing that, but I'm trying to get back in this. And two, they're at home, and that's basically it. That's all I think. The fans show up for this one. I think somehow home field means something, although clearly I think St. Louis is the better football team.
Yeah, home field at Seattle, I've told you before, that's one of the toughest places to play in the league. It's an outstanding stadium. It is a tough place to win. It's a long plane trip, all that. But I'm going to take Bradford over Charlie Whitehurst. That's just it. I'm going to take Bradford over Whitehurst. I'm going to take Steven Jackson over Marshawn Lynch. I'm going to take the Rams defense over Seattle's defense. I think Seattle is the most inconsistent team in the NFL. I'm not a huge fan of Charlie Whitehurst. I'm not a fan of Matt Hasselbeck. It wouldn't matter if he was starting. I'd still pick against him. But, yeah, the Rams are going to get in the playoffs. That's my take on it. I think – I don't know what they're going to do in the playoffs, but just for today, Joe, I'm taking the Rams.
You taking Spagnuolo over Pistol Pete Carroll?
Yeah, Pistol Pete's had a rough year.
All right, we got four games different on this one. So yeah. If I can run the table, I can somehow miraculously pull off the backdoor cover for the win. I don't really see it happening. I've got, let's see, the Road Dog in the Raiders. I got the Packers at home. I got the Seahawks. I don't like that one at all. And I really don't like Denver, despite the fact that Seattle's collapsing. Feel confident in that, my friend. This thing's a wrap. This thing was a beast today. For everyone that tuned in for the full hour, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for a wonderful year here at the Bump and Run Podcast in 2010. We will be back with vengeance in 2011, but enjoy your holiday weekends and what's left of them. Enjoy your bowl games. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. I'm Matt Bowen. I'm Joe Fornball. We'll see you in 2011.